And welcome back. Glad you're on board with us tonight. More information coming up as Jeff and Erica and the COVID Chronicles episode for Friday is debuting right now. mutant COVID variant called, I like this name, Flirt, F-L-I-R-T, even more resistant to human immune systems. A mutant COVID variant. Now, that's not intentional doublespeak, but there's some idiocy in there. Because what the COVID virus and the bioweapon, COVID bioweapon, do is destroy the immune system. So I don't know how they're measuring this. I didn't read the story. Even more resistant to human immune systems. Well, okay, I get the general drift here. But they're calling it the Flirt variant. Isn't that cute? It's marketing. It's all in marketing. And then the allnewspipeline.com picked up, a bit of the drift at what we have been saying for quite some time, that all COVID death vaccination executioners of Americans must pay for the crimes they've committed, including murder. And I think that's a fair place to start for these people. What they've done to children especially, beyond words, truly beyond words. Still have a story going back up about that Oz doctor on a talk show trying to worm out of responsibility for promoting the death vax. In the beginning, he said, that's what we knew back then. This is just a greaser. Greaseball. Disgusting. Hello there, young lady.
Hi. Good evening.
What have you been doing?
Oh, I don't know. Just trying to stay out of trouble.
That's a pretty good philosophy in these days. Seriously. Mm. It's really wacky out there. Wacky, wacky, wacky. Have you been out and about amongst them at all?
Not really.
I make a point of avoiding
them.
We both try to do that. And many of you listening, I'm sure, have gotten to that point now, either voluntarily or you're too sensitized to it now. You can't be around them.
Yeah, that's the case for many.
Many.
Not all, but for those who have been sensitized to this poison, they don't have a choice. They have to stay away.
Right. And the point about sensitization is that it can be specific. It's not a general broad brush approach to life and living for some reason. You want to talk about that just for a few seconds?
Sure. I've tried to explain it. I don't know if people are really comprehending what I'm trying to say, but you know, this is a poison that, you know, once your body becomes sensitized to it because it had a previous encounter with it where it was overwhelmed and felt threatened, the way your immune system responds, it's a hypersensitization effect so that you're essentially allergic to it. And
you're essentially miserable if you get around it, too. It's not a joke
so
for
it's,
many
it's
people.
Not as much the poison itself on subsequent exposures, but, you know, like, say, for a bee sting. At some point, you know, if you get bitten by enough bees, your body, in some cases, will overreact, and you'll produce a specific class of antibodies so that the next time you're exposed, it's going to go berserk, even if it's just one bee. And, you know, we see the same thing with food allergies. You know, some people are so deathly allergic to a peanut that all they have to do is walk into a peanut factory. They don't even have to eat it, but there's traces of peanut protein in the air, and that can set them off. So there's varying degrees to which you can become sensitized. But we do have a substantial number of unvaxxed people that are acutely sensitive to this, and, you know, just a transient exposure to the poison sends them into a tailspin, and they're down for days, weeks sometimes. And
yeah.
That may or may not be, in some cases, porphyria, because, you know, the heme, every time you encounter this poison, your heme gets destroyed. And it puts pressure, because it's a toxin, to make more heme so that you can detoxify.
Would we call heme a protein?
Yeah, heme is a protein, or, yeah.
Okay. And my point is, to augment what you're saying, the body's cells produce a hell of a lot of different kinds of proteins to build and rebuild and reinforce so many different organs and organ systems and organ system functions in the body, musculature, neurology. These proteins are all over the place. Heme is another one in that basket, which is key to life. And when that gets dysregulated,
heme is what enables your body to utilize oxygen. And when you don't have heme, and it is not just heme in the red blood cell, but you have other organs and tissues, enzymes that need heme, you suffer. You suffer in many, many ways. So heme dysregulation often goes hand in hand with porphyria. So heme breaks down, and then the body goes to rebuild heme by assembling porphyrins. And if there's a breakdown in that pathway of constructing heme, well, you end up with a buildup of these toxic porphyrins, and they can make you miserable. In fact, I've got a reader tonight just to drive the point home. We can do that later. But I think in some cases of this shedding sickness, you're looking at porphyria, coupled with probably MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome, which is rampant these days. It never used to be, but it is now. And that, again, it's a response of the immune system trying to protect you, but it's kind of gone off the rails. And, you know, we call it a maladaptive stress response, and trying to calm that down once it's happened often has to involve retraining the nervous system. And they call it limbic system retraining, and there's, you know, exercises that you do to calm your nervous system down. Otherwise, it keeps going and oftentimes will get worse.
Got it.
So life is pretty miserable for some people these days.
We're going to keep revisiting the heme issue to help it seep into a lot of your thinking. It's very important. And it's virtually, I want to say verboten, but it's not talked about anywhere else. I've never heard it.
Back in the day, I would say the early 2000s, a lot of research was done into chronic fatigue and these latent viral illnesses that people were sick. I mean, you know, we've had chronic fatigue and myalgia, myeloencephalopathy for decades. And so a lot of research was done, and we know a lot, but it is not making it into these main alternative news platforms in any way, shape, or form. They want you to think it's all nanobots and self-assembling parasites, and it's laughable. And the money some of these people are charging for their so-called expertise, which is, you know, it's anything but.
When you hear the term self-assembling, your ears should perk up, and then brace yourself, all right? You're about to get hit with disinformation in many, many cases. That's a bell ringer.
Yep.
Now, in fact, who was it? Jones said, he's got a video out today. I looked at the first 20 seconds of it and just started laughing. Always claiming that he was on top of things long ago. That's what these people do. It's not just him. But, you know, he was saying we have self-assembling nanotechnology in the body, and we were on this decades ago.
There's a clip being circulated right now of some guy talking about nanobots. And, you could call a virus a nanobot, because what does it do? Well, it gets into a cell. A virus is an intracellular parasite, and it takes over the machinery, and it produces its own proteins. But you can program it, so to speak, to produce whatever protein you want, as we're seeing with this mRNA. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, razzling and dazzling people with the terminology so that you have visions of...
Oh, and the people are only too happy to collect those terms and weave them into their little limited narratives. As soon as they say
self-assembling... Yeah, and then you can run to them for the treatment. You know, you've got to
nanobots.
Burn and scorch these things out of you.
Mm-hmm. Tweezers will do if you're careful. Ophthalmologists warn that COVID-19 can cause dyschromatopsia and changes in the visual contrast sensitivity. In other words, it's COVID-19 is bothering your vision, okay? We've talked about that forever, too. And
Well, that is one of the ways they test for SIRS, chronic inflammatory response syndrome. There's a test called the visual contrast test.
Dyschromatopsia?
For mold-related illness? Yeah. Yeah, there's a visual contrast test that can detect, and it's a very good test that will tell you whether or not you have inflammation in your brain because it presses on the optic nerve and you can't see contrast.
Got it. It's funny to watch how stories come around again. They'll be away for a year or two, and then somebody will find it. A lot of times they'll post it as if it's a news story to try to get more clicks. But Dolores Cahill... has warned that everyone who's received an injection, an mRNA injection, will likely die in 3 to 5 years after the shot. Now, it's not to scare anyone out there, but it's just an example of a story that comes back up for another run around the block out of the blue. And always try and check the dates of these things before you overreact to them. She's a very smart lady, and... her warning is, I think, very credible, should be taken seriously. In many cases, it's probably going to turn out to be correct. It's a direct quote.
A lot have died already.
I think tens of millions. Everybody who has an mRNA injection will die within 3 to 5 years, even if they have only taken one injection, said Dolores Cahill. She's an Irish... a brilliant scientist, to over 25 years worth. She's been involved with high-throughput protein array, antibody array, proteomics, technology development, automation, and biomedical applications. She's very well-versed in very important and eclectic areas of science, so she's to be listened to. The story says, Dr. Cahill's dire warnings on the jabs echoed those of Canadian medical professional Dr. Charles Hoff, whom you've heard on this program many times, who warned fellow physicians in 2021, July, that vaxxed people, injected people, will probably all develop right-sided heart failure within 3 years and die. Because they now have increased vascular resistance through their lungs. All right, well, we've covered all this. And anyway, these stories come and go. Sometimes they pop up when you least expect them. So that's running around now, too. Okay. Anything else here? Let me see. The FDA is now making full preparations for possible bird flu spreading throughout humans in the United States. So they're getting ready. Are you getting ready? Point is, how seriously do you take this stuff? I guess the bottom line is, they'll do whatever they want, and how people react is going to be the only real difference in the general strategy of springing these fear-based, fear-porn frights on people. Look what they did with COVID. They got away with 80 to 90% lining up, rolling up their sleeves when they didn't have to. They were intimidated into it.
In many cases, wanted it.
They begged for it. They were driving to other counties to get it. Remember that one?
So they
could get in line there. Crazy. Okay. First up, we have Did I erase it? Let me find it here. Here it is. A German Minister of Parliament, an MEP, a parliamentarian, named Christine Anderson, has made a very strong and powerful and correct statement. It's a two-minute video, so we'll play the video, and she weighs in with it right at the very end, and she is correct, something we've, again, said in so many words many times. So here's Christine Anderson, an MEP in Germany.
It's just the audacity with which they do this. I mean, they are elected officials, and in a democracy, you have to act on behalf of the people, and you have to act in their best interest. But that's not happening anymore. It really isn't. They serve all kinds of interests, especially in the last 3 years. We've seen they were, you know, pretty much serving the interest of pharmaceutical companies, coming up with this, you know, ridiculous mRNA shot, calling it vaccine. And they had no regard and no concern for the safety of the people they were injecting with that stuff, or like by the millions and billions. Mm-hmm. So that is a completely new quality.
She's not kidding about billions. We have 14 billion injections having been administered on this planet into the arms of close to 8 billion people. We'll just call it 6 just to be conservative here. But that's a hell of a lot of coverage. And they did it.
But, yeah, atrocity that yeah. they've reached at this point. And it's, yeah,
isn't it
dire
amazing?
Circumstances.
It's amazing how they're just kind of all doing it. And it's...
Yeah, they are.
It's scary.
Yeah, they are.
And
it is. And the most scary part about this is they seem to be reading all from the same script.
Good for her. And they're just doing it. And why are they just doing it? Because there's no pushback. So many people are sick. So many people are afraid. 61% of Americans are in financial catastrophic configuration right now. Only 39% report that their finances are good or better. So you got people who are so easy to take advantage of.
It's you know, like the terms they used, you know, build back better, safe and effective, and no one is safe until everyone is safe. But you know, these are just words they're, you know, flaunting around. But what do they mean by, you know, no one is safe until everyone is safe? So obviously it means, well, until everyone got the injection. But is anyone safe with that mRNA shot? I don't think so. And, you know, what we've seen up until now, and there is still more to come, we're finding out more and more every day. And I've said that before, and I will say it again. This whole vaccination campaign, it will go down into the medical books as the biggest medical scandal ever. And yes, it will be known as the biggest crime to ever have been committed on mankind.
Bravo, Christine Anderson. It's people like that who are willing to stand up. I don't know of one American in Congress who has made such a statement, although they certainly should. They're not. So
that's right.
Good job. Good job. And those mentions that she made about, what did she say? No one can be better until everyone is better, or some crap.
Yeah, they use that line here, too. No one's safe until we're all safe.
Do you know there are people actually get paid to make that crap up, those little cliches they can throw
sure.
around, little buzzword phrases? Yeah.
Yep.
It's because the mindless masses can pick those up. And
yeah, they're easy to remember.
Yep.
Little jingles.
Yep. Jingle. Perfect. That's what they are. They're jingles. Yeah. Ad jingles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they used to call them jingles back in the day, but no more. That's a good one. You're only 39. How the hell do you remember that? All right. having a little fun here, that's all. You got to have fun sometime. All right. Is there anything you want to add to that? I'm really proud of that that Minister of Parliament for doing that. Good job.
Yeah, there are people speaking out. You just, you know, many of them are silenced,
they
unfortunately.
Don't know. That'll never make the mainstream media over there or over here. But
right.
we're happy to air it and present it. Yeah. I'm wondering about anything else. You told me a little bit about this, the magic bus story we're going to hear tonight. This poor guy, paralyzed, right? After having a Johnson & Johnson COVID shot. Well, J&J shots are on the shelf now, are they not? Didn't they pull them, basically?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've been gone for some time. But
and then AstraZeneca recently followed them. Yeah.
That was one that did a lot of damage in some people. You know, it only took one.
Oh, terrible damage. That's right.
You know, the neurological problems are, you know, they're just intractable. There's so many things going wrong.
And you know,
and
in a world,
not really responsive to any therapies.
None. In a medical world of biophysiology, you think about it, there are only so many symptoms that you can look at, right? 100 different degrees of diseases or disorders can produce the same group of symptoms. So diagnostics becomes the most difficult thing in medical science. And a lot of doctors shouldn't be diagnosing anybody. They're idiots.
Well, I think, you know, when you start to divide the body up into these compartments and you have this compartmentalized thinking and reductionist thinking, yeah, you're going to miss the bigger picture.
Absolutely. Yes. The idea is to pull back, look at the panorama, and try to see a different flavor, a different texture. You get hung up on the micro with all these symptoms. Have a headache, muscle ache, neuralgia, and you're kind of out of the game at that point because they apply to so many things.
You know, a lot of people are seeking out neurologists now because, you know, there are a lot of neurological side effects from this.
Many.
But then, you know, if the blood isn't healthy and it can't deliver oxygen, it can't even pick up oxygen.
No.
How are you going to heal your nervous system?
No. How are you going to live?
Yeah, basically. I mean, everything is going to degenerate, and we are seeing that.
Yeah. For all of you out there listening who are vax injured, I think I've made this statement before. We're here for you as much as for anyone. We really care about this whole thing. And it is, I think that Christine Anderson nailed it. It is the greatest attack, greatest crime committed against humankind ever. Humanity. She's right. We've said that. It's obvious. We're talking billions of people here. 4 billion at least injected. And it just takes one shot. All right, let's listen to this gentleman's story for a few minutes and see what he has to say. We try very hard to give voice to these people because nobody else will. Mainstream media, forget it. The alt-news media, forget it. It's just not there. So here we go. Let's take a listen to this story.
Injured by the Johnson & Johnson shot. And I was just telling Doug, I'm so pleased that he's talking about this because we just do not hear enough about Johnson & Johnson. So, Doug, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Polly.
Well, we appreciate you doing this. Doug, tell me, first of all...
By the way, Doug has a picture of him, and now the current picture, he's obviously in decline. He's also having trouble... breathing. You can hear it. He just talked a moment ago. When he spoke, he lost his breath at the end of that little statement and had to try and recapture it.
Why did you even get a COVID shot in the first place? Were you pressured into it? Talk me through why you took it.
I was a farm manager just outside of Mountain Home, Idaho. Farm is about 10,000 acres. We have quite a few employees. In other words, everything that happened, I was somewhat involved in it. It was payday, and I went to get checks. They said to me, Doug, we got this paper here for the COVID vaccine. And I said, well, I don't want it. You know, that's just what I said right then. And they said, well, you're a manager, and it'd be good if your name was on the list first. And I said, well, okay, you know, you could just see that they were not wanting to negotiate. And I said, well, I'll take it. And I said, but I'm not telling anybody. If they want the shot, fine. If they don't want a shot, I'm just telling them. And I had an opportunity, if I wanted the shot, to have gone to town and got the shot at any time. However, I didn't want it, but they brought it to work. And to this day, I wish they'd never brought it to work. But my employer was sick at the time with cancer, bone cancer, and was pretty paranoid about being around people who could possibly get him sick, which I kind of understood that. And because I was a manager, I needed to be around him. So that was why I took the shot.
And where did you go to get it?
I was at work at the office. They brought the shot actually to the farm. Well, it was the dairy. They brought the shot to the dairy office, and the Desert Sage Health Clinic came out. So I had made my rounds and checked in with several people about work, and then I drove over to the dairy office and just stepped out of the pickup, walked in the office, got my shot, had to sit with a timer for 15 minutes. And as soon as the timer went off, I was out the door, back in the pickup, and back to work.
Did you choose to get Johnson & Johnson, or was that just what was available that day?
That is what they brought. I did not choose one way or the other.
When did you start to feel ill after you took that Johnson & Johnson?
I got the shot in the morning, and then the next day I lost the bladder control, ED, and my hips started hurting really bad. I just couldn't be comfortable sitting there.
So did you see a doctor? What happened?
I went to the emergency room, and they took me in an ambulance to Boise. I got an MRI, and they said there's absolutely nothing wrong with you, and to go home. And if you have any more problems, you call. I didn't go to work because they said, well, if you got COVID, don't come to work. And I said, well, the doctor told me that I'd be okay to go to work because in my job, I don't necessarily have to interact with people. And they said, no, just wait. So I have my own little farm. And I was setting out sprinkler lines, and I told my wife, I said, man, this is on Wednesday. I said, boy, I don't know what's the matter. 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, I hollered at my wife, and she grabbed a hold of my leg, my left leg, and she screamed, and I didn't quite understand what she was worried about. And I said, I can't move. I don't know what's the matter with me, but I can't move. My legs won't move. And she called the ambulance right away.
And why did she scream? What was she screaming at? Do you have marks on there or something?
She had grabbed my foot, and it was ice cold, I guess. Ice cold, really, really cold. And she couldn't believe how cold it was. And of course, I'm trying to calm her down, and I can't move, you know. I'm paralyzed now from the diaphragm down. and that's where I was when I woke up. I haven't changed one bit. In 3 years, nothing has gotten better or worse.
That is a brutal injury to be paralyzed from the mid-chest on down. Boom, you're gone. Your life is over. You're done. Wheelchair from now on. That's sickening. Each one of these stories is different, but they all seem to head toward the same conclusion. Catastrophic injury to the overall body, and certainly specific organs and functionality. But it's just merciless, this stuff.
Put me up, and I wasn't in Mountain Home Hospital just long enough to transfer ambulances, and they took me to Boise. Then everything just started going downhill from there, really. Because I was COVID positive, they wouldn't allow my wife to be there. She couldn't be there for 3 days. So a lot of things happened that I didn't know about, didn't know what was going on. So she showed up, and that was the best thing for me. As soon as she showed up, I had an advocate who could talk for me, because I was put on a ventilator once I got up there. Now, the thing to remember is my blood pressure was good. I had no lung trouble, breathing problem, according to the records from the ambulance. I mean, they loaded me up. Everything was fine with me. Prior to this, I was on no medication. I was high on life. I didn't need any medication. I was just fine. I didn't have high blood pressure. I don't have high blood pressure. I didn't have diabetes or anything like that.
Doug, when you got to the hospital, did they ask if you were vaccinated?
They knew I was vaccinated. I kept telling them it was the shot, and the more I told them it was the shot, the more they, you know, looked at me sideways. And I told them, I said, excuse my language, I said, it's a goddamn shot. You know, that's what I told them. And
that part of it, for a vax injury, anyone who's been injured severely like this man, if not killed, but the injured, trying to speak to otherwise professional healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, whatever, techs, and being basically looked at sideways, as he said, dismissed as a kook, is sickening. The only thing more sickening than that was how they separated family members from those that were in hospital. You couldn't visit your loved ones, your sister, your brother, your mother, your dad. You remember the pictures of the people? I'm sure all of you have seen them. Of a plastic drape that they would hang, and the family could be on one side of this clear plastic drape, and the COVID victim, let's say grandma, was on the other side, and they were touching hands with the plastic separating them. That to me was beyond horrific, to do that emotionally to people. This is as cruel as it could be. Satan designed this. I'm not being religious here in any way. There is good and there is evil. Evil, satanic black evil, designed this, to do this to people. They knew what was going on. They knew how it would play out. Anyway, here.
They say, oh, it can't be the shot. Okay, what is it? And how come you know so much about this shot, what it doesn't do, but you don't know what it does do, you know? Everything, they tested me for everything to try to blame it. It was my fault instead of the vaccine.
What do you think? $100,000 worth of tests? What do you think?
Yeah.
Sure. Goes back to this is also a huge transfer of wealth. Now, this man probably had very good health insurance, but remember, there's always a deductible for everyone. Anyhow, this is the game. This is all thought out in advance.
I mean, I had, let's see, this is just a little bit of what I had. They found that I had a blood clot, which, go figure that one, you know, because after I got the shot is when Johnson & Johnson paused the shot because those women died of blood clots. So I have had, I spent 105 days in the hospital, in three hospitals, St. Al's, St. Luke's, and Utah's Craig Nielsen Rehab Hospital. I have had multiple MRIs, CAT scans, EKGs, X-rays, spinal angiograms, spinal taps, autoimmune blood tests, muscle biopsies, and everything came back negative. Everything came back negative on me. Did they look at the shot? No, they're still looking at me all the time.
Doug, because you said you had COVID, you tested positive for COVID-19.
Yes.
Yes, when you were in hospital. Did they give you remdesivir, do you know?
Yes, two rounds of it.
How did you get out of hospital?
Well, I think they were just tired of me, to tell you the truth. I was down in Salt Lake, and I ran a fever one day. And they came in, a whole bunch of doctors, and they said, are you okay? And I go, yeah, I'm okay. Just like I am today, just the same. And they said, are you sure you're okay? And I said, yeah, I'm all right. And they said, well, you have a fever of 104.9. And I go, okay. I said, I'm good. Said, you don't feel sick? I said, no, I don't feel sick. Lungs are clear, everything. And that really bothered those people. And again, I'm still telling them it's a shot. You know, this thing, you guys need to learn everything you can from me so it doesn't happen to somebody else. But they had a meeting. And they never told me what happened in that meeting, but they had a meeting. And then shortly after they said, well, you're good enough to go and you can go. My fever broke finally. And they were coming in every night. I mean, every couple hours taking my temperature, and they left and they come back. And I said to the gal, when she come back, I said, I'll bet you my fever's down. She goes, how do you know? And I said, my sheets are soaked. You know, I said, my fever must have broke, you know. And sure enough, I was right down to where I was supposed to be. And I don't have any problems. The only problem that I have is I can't walk. I have no other problems.
So you're actually paralyzed now.
I am paralyzed. I feel nothing. Nothing at all from the diaphragm just below the nipples down. I feel nothing at all.
Okay, I'm going to pause it there. I don't know even what to say. We've heard this so many times, but each time you hear them, they're appalling. All the tests, negative. Figure it out. Two doses of remdesivir, and yet his lungs were still clear? And he was put on a vent. The medical industry in this country has no idea what it's doing.
No.
Except billing people, taking money, running tests.
Yep.
If they won't even admit to the remote possibility that these shots are causing problems, what kind of hands are you in? You're in trouble. You're in danger.
No, that does not
Anyhow, this guy's
inspire
been
confidence
destroyed.
At all.
He'll never get better. All right, go ahead. Were you
what?
Saying something? What's that?
No, I just said, you know, the incompetence now, the full extent of the incompetence of the present medical system is...
Right.
Doesn't inspire confidence.
No. I had my
earbud. You know, you'd really have to be at death's door to want to resort to them, and even then, it's a roll of the dice whether you're going to come out of there or not.
Right. I had my earbud
misplaced.
They're
going to save you or kill you.
I thought you were saying something, but I don't know if you were or not, so if I was stepping on your words, didn't mean to. But you're right. No, you go into a hospital, and you're going to be damn lucky to come out the same as you went in. Chances are you're going to come out worse, or you're going to go out the back door. Anyhow,
yeah, you know, they have an appalling track record right now. And if this is truly, you know, ignorance and not a cover-up, that's even worse.
I think
you know, can they really be that dumb?
Yes, and they're also frightened, so they stay within the protocols that they know are safe for them and their careers. Well, we ran MRIs, we did CATs, we did this, we did that, and it was all negative. So we ran out of options. They ran out of options.
Well, I will say...
They refused to look at the reality of it.
That Dr. Philip Triantos, who joined the FLCCC webinar on Wednesday, he's the radiologist in Alabama who's been... looking at, you know, radiographs of clots now for 2 years, 3 years, he makes a point of asking the referring doctors of, you know, did your patient take the shot? What shot? The COVID-19 shot. Well, maybe. Why do you ask? You know, and he said most of them are in the dark. They are not even thinking that could be a cause of their patient's problems.
After 4 years, this is stupendously frightening to even hear. So when you go into a hospital, any of you, and I know some of you have no choice, you're right on the edge of checking out one way or the other. They nailed this guy with remdesivir, put him on a vent.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, the best you'll get is some pharmaceuticals to help you manage or deal with your symptoms, but in terms of...
Right.
Turning things around.
No, I haven't really seen it happen. Anyone who's been turned around and put back to original baseline.
Not through that medical system. I have seen it to a greater degree with the functional medicine doctors, naturopaths, you know, people that do have some formal training in medicine that understand how the body works and what could be at play and how to evaluate a patient as an individual, as a whole person.
Well,
and the therapies that are appropriate and the ones that are not.
Right. To all of you who are vax injured, many of you have gone through similar things. You just heard that Doug Cameron has gone through horrors and no relief, no resolution of anything much. Just a complete denial of reality. That's what we're getting. These people do not want to lose their license. They're afraid. So they're staying right by the book. They don't deviate.
And it's still, you know, very perversely incentivized to push one thing
disgusting.
Or another.
Oh, they're horrors. Come on.
Yeah,
they're murderous horrors. And it is what it is. All right, let's jump over to our human catalog here that we like to bring forward at least once a program when we have time. We got some time here. Where do you want to go first?
You pick.
See? Now I have to pick because I'm a gentleman and she's a lady, so I'll pick. All right. Turbo cancer, a winner. You can never go wrong with turbo cancer, right?
Yeah, that's a short one.
All right.
But there's a lot of them, you know.
All right. Well, I haven't gone through them all. All right, here's a turbo cancer. Thank you for allowing me to join this group. My wife was diagnosed with mouth cancer 7 weeks after the Pfizer booster. She had previously had 2 shots. She was very healthy beforehand. The doctors said it was one of the most aggressive cancers they had ever seen. She has had surgery, radiotherapy, immunotherapy, and chemo 2x. Anyone else in a similar position? And one person chimed in, my sister-in-law had breast cancer, and her daughter had lymphoma, and my brother-in-law developed oral cancer. All right, there's 2 oral cancers there. Now, again, we say this often, how many people reporting in to these social media groups often mention others that they know who have been severely injured by these injections? And here's another example. My sister-in-law had breast cancer, and her daughter had lymphoma, and my brother-in-law developed oral cancer. So this is all preposterous. See, these people, tragically, the lady with the mouth cancer, still alive, 7 weeks after the booster, she's taken the whole gamut of things, radiation, immunotherapy, chemo 2x, and she's not going to make it. I hope she does, but chances are these people are all on the way out. Nobody's getting over these things.
Yeah, it's the cancers are just exploding.
Yeah, and for a doctor to say, if there's a professional oncologist involved, for that doctor to say he or she has never seen a cancer this aggressive before, that should be headline news in the so-called mainstream media.
You know,
I
am seeing in my YouTube feed, you know, and it probably has to do with things I've searched for, of course, but the number of videos relating to people who are dealing with cancer is, you know, could sit there all day and look at these videos of relatively young people and their cancer story.
Well, you heard the paramedic describe it. It's tearing him apart. He's transporting teenagers and young adults who are dying.
Yep.
Dying. And a lot of them he has to take home to die. These people who were the peak of their lives, just beginning them. And he takes them home to die. I don't know how he can do that, but God bless him for doing it. I'm glad there are some good people out there. Paramedics are, you know, heroes in many cases. Mm. Just like other public servants. All right, go ahead.
Let's do this porphyria one.
Go ahead.
Just to give people an idea, you know, what does porphyria look like, a porphyria attack? Now, I'll say this. Porphyria is the result of when your body can't build heme. So it starts the process, but it can't finish it, and so you get this buildup of porphyrins. These are the building blocks of heme, and they are mm-hmm. toxic, and they are usually quite toxic to the nervous system, the liver. Mm-hmm. They can be neurotoxic. They can be a cause of psychiatric problems.
Mm-hmm. It's an 8-step process, building heme.
Yes.
And you have one step
symptoms,
fails, you don't get heme.
Right. So, and you get this buildup of the porphyrins. Now, they can end up in your skin. And when that skin is exposed to UV light, or sometimes any light, it will get red and blister, and because it causes free radical damage. If they build up in your nervous system, you will be in pain. And if they build up in your liver, you're going to have stomach pain. It can cause a long list of symptoms, and you will feel sick. And now you can inherit a defect in the ability to build heme, or you can acquire a defect from poisoning, essentially. Lead, the heavy metal lead, can do it. Mercury can do it. Probably other metals. Mycotoxins can do it. Lyme bacteria, the biotoxins from Lyme, can do it. And this spike protein also does it. So I think a lot of people don't realize that many of their symptoms from being exposed to the spike protein are probably porphyria. So here's a woman describing her story. Hi, everyone. I just feel like reaching out. I need my friends who walk the path of porphyria. I'm currently in hospital receiving normosang today. Okay, normosang is heme. Basically, it's heme or hemin collected from human donors.
Yeah,
it's a blood-based product.
Transfusion of normosang, all right, from others who may well be shot up, all right.
Yep. I'm nervous as my reactions to it fluctuate. I am just in so much pain. I've been vomiting and constipated, apparently due to the ultrasound report. As the years go by, my feeling to urinate is disappearing. This last year has just been awful with my health. It's like I am in one big attack, like I am allergic to everything. I feel alone, though I'm not. It's like living with this disease can make you feel like you're the only one that must be feeling this bad until you reach out. I also wanted to ask, I test high for ACE, angioconverting enzyme, and CK, creatine kinase. My gut is a mess, too. I kind of feel deflated, like my brain keeps trying to tell me to keep digging, because to feel this bad, it has to be something else. But I think porphyria is just this bad. Thank you so much, and love to you all.
Okay, so we don't mention in this little piece anything about her getting injected.
No. She wouldn't have had to be. Can it be from, can it accompany that? Yeah, pretty much anything can come
porphyria
along with this injection.
Can act on its own. You don't have to be bioweapon shot.
A secondary porphyria is classic when it comes to biotoxin illness, because these biotoxins interfere with that pathway.
Well, you bet.
So anyone that's suffering from shedding continually and it appears to be getting worse, this is on the table. It's absolutely on the table, along with MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome.
And I'll bet if we talk to 100 doctors and ask them about MCAS, not many of them would really be familiar with it.
There's more awareness of that now, mast cell, because so many people have it, not so much of porphyria. I mean, when if you ask a doctor about porphyria, they'll tell you it's very rare, it's a genetic condition,
Well, we've seen that already somewhere. They denounce it.
And it's not the easiest thing to test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you can find the porphyrins in the urine, but not always.
Wow. And again, define porphyrins for everyone, please. Porphyrins.
Porphyrins are
porphyrin?
Porphyrins are the building block of heme, and they allow, once the heme is built, that allows you to carry oxygen. It binds to iron so that you can utilize oxygen.
And if the 8-step process is incomplete or thwarted, you don't have oxygen binding heme. You can't
That's right. Can't
run your body. So you got no gas.
And the
gas
porphyrins
the gas
themselves are toxic. And one of the things they do is they'll grab onto metals, and that's why people are, getting EMF sensitivity.
What doctor's going to look for porphyria? Oh, come on. It's way down the list, if it's
list. No, I see people with all the classic symptoms and dragging themselves from doctor to doctor, and they're not trained to look for it.
Typical $150,000 worth of tests. That poor Doug Cameron was in hospital for 105 days, and they still didn't know what the hell was wrong with him. 105 days, paralyzed from the mid-chest down.
It's awful.
Greatest crime ever committed against humanity. Ever.
Yep.
Well, to Christine Anderson, 4 years, she spit it out. Good job. We need a lot more doing that, but it's ultimately too late.
Well, we need people to wake up and just stop complying with this. Stop taking these shots. Stop pretending you don't know that they're dangerous.
700 million injections given in the U.S. to 80% of the people, maybe 90, we don't know. So they've done it. They've gotten away with it.
They've done it.
This thing was planned as a weapon. It was created as a weapon, and it was deployed as a weapon, and it's doing exactly what they wanted it to do. Kill people. Destroy people. So they can't.
Well, yeah, wear them down, drag society down, cripple it.
That's right. That's right. Wow. All right. There's our cheerful update for you all. Thank you for being here. We know you wouldn't be here unless you cared. So share these programs and do your best.